when God appeared to Abraham and told him that he and his wife Sarah were going to have a son when he was 100 years old and she was 90, his reaction was to fall on his face and laugh. And I will admit that I had a little bit of temptation to do the same thing when Ed approached me and said, we're going to teach the entire Bible in one quarter. But I think we're going to be able to make it, especially with the format that we've set out. What we're planning to do this quarter is to overview the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation and look at it from the standpoint of the story of the Bible. That the Bible tells a unified story, it has unified themes, and it is about a central topic and a central purpose. So that is what we hope to accomplish in this class. So why do something like this? Why have a quarter where we survey the Bible? I asked you for what you wanted to get out of this class, and Bill and I are going to incorporate that into the lessons as we go forward. But this was my take on some course objectives. What do we want to accomplish as we go through this study? First and foremost is to grow in our knowledge and understanding of the Bible, not only of the facts of Scripture, but of themes and principles that are encountered there. It is the Scriptures that 2 Timothy 3:15 says that are able to make us wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So it is very important as Christians, as followers of Jesus, that we know and understand what is in the Bible. Secondly, I want us to gain confidence in the inspiration of the Bible and its power to change our lives. This isn't merely a historical record of a group of people, although it is that. It isn't merely a set of rules by which we are to live, although it is that. But it isn't merely those things. This is a living, active document that is able to change us if we allow it to. Hebrews 4:12 says that the Scriptures are living, the Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So as we go through and look at some of these stories, keep in mind that they're not merely stories. This is intended to instruct us. It is intended to change us and to transform us into God, what God wants us to be. Next objective comes from 1 Peter 1:21, and that is to increase our faith and hope in God and His wisdom. As we go through the Bible and look throughout history at what God has done to bring about the plan to redeem us that He has worked throughout the centuries of history in the Bible, the objective and the hope is that culminating in the birth, the life, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that it will put our hope in God. Peter says that God raised Him up and gave Him glory so that your faith and your hope are in God. It should give us great confidence in the God that we serve to see and to learn what He has done for His people and through His people throughout history. Finally, is to equip ourselves with the ability to tell the story of the Bible to others. Some of you who have been in my classes before, maybe Tim and Julia are the only ones in here, Alex has been, you know, you gentlemen know, that you are subject, before the quarter's over, to being up here teaching me. And that's going to happen as we go through here, because one of the things we want to be able to do when we leave here in March is to be able to have confidence in our ability to tell the story of the Bible to someone else as we have opportunity. So the four objectives that I listed that I hope to get out of this, looking forward to seeing what you all want to get out of it as well. The class format, we're going to meet on Sunday and Wednesday, so that's going to help. When we decided to do that, that subsided my laughter a little bit and helped me to say, okay, maybe it is possible that we can do this in 25 class meetings rather than only 13. So we're going to meet on Sunday and Wednesday, 13 Sundays, 12 Wednesdays through March the 30th, through the first quarter. on Sunday we'll follow the class schedule. Did everyone get a copy of the class schedule, the lesson list for Sundays? I think there are some over. I didn't bring any. I thought Bill was going to have some this morning. But there's some on the table in the foyer of the main building. Pick one up if you don't have one. I'll bring some copies on Wednesday if there are not some over there for you. But those outline the lessons and the schedule that we want to follow on Sundays. On Wednesdays, rather than have a formal lesson plan and material to run through, I want to review what we talked about on Sunday, do some exercises and drills to get that into our minds, to remember the things and put some things in sequence and chronology that we talked about, and questions and answers, question and answer time. If you have any questions about the things that we talked about on Sunday, bring those on Wednesday. Give them to me beforehand. We'll incorporate those into the class period. It'll be not just free format, but a little bit less formal and less lecturing on my part and more interactive and involved to remember some of the things that we talked about. Finally, this is a verse that I like to bring out at the beginning of any class I teach. That's Proverbs 2. Go ahead and open your Bibles to Proverbs 2. Johnny, if you get that, read Proverbs 2, 1 through 5.
Okay. It says, starting in verse 1,
yes.
My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and will find the knowledge of God.
Okay, so these are the rules that I set forth for any class and my contract with you. Incline your ear, listen to what is said, apply your heart, which means pray and meditate about the things that we talk about. Lift up your voice, ask questions, study and prepare. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I want you to do. If we all do that, we will have a good class. Let me just say one thing about questions. The only bad question is the one that's not asked. This is a safe place. If you don't know something, if you don't understand something, please ask the question. Nobody will look down on you. Nobody will make you feel embarrassed. Nobody will do any of that in here. This is not creed rehearsal where I'm going to stand up here and tell you like it is and everybody nod their head and say amen. That's not why we're here. We're here to learn. So ask questions if you have one, please. Pretest we've already done, so we're going to dive right into it here and try to get through the basic material today, and if we don't finish, we'll continue on Wednesday night. The Bible, even though it's bound in one book, the way that we carry it, it's not one book. But really, it's a collection of 66 books. These books were written by approximately 40 different authors over roughly a period of 1,500 years. These authors were all different in their professions and in their backgrounds and in their nationalities. They were shepherds to kings, from physicians to fishermen. They came from Israel. They came from Babylon, Persia, Greece, Rome, all over the world, over a long period of time. But they all claim one thing in common, and that is that there is a common author behind this that we're going to be getting to in a minute. Roughly the period, the 1,500 years that we're talking about, is from around 1,400 to 1,500 B.C. up to, depending on when Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible, up to about 70 to 100 A.D., depending on what date you take for John's writing of the book of Revelation, when the Bible, as we know it, the canon of the Scriptures, were complete. Now, let me say something about these dates. I haven't intended on this slide to be precise in these dates, but only to give you a rough idea of the time frame. As we go through and get into more details of the particular books of the Bible, we'll set some more precise dates where we can. Some are not we're not really able to determine precisely, and some there's a lot of disagreement even among scholars who study those things. But this, for the purposes of this morning, is just to give you a general idea, 1500 to 1600 years in this time frame when the Bible was written. Sir?
Question, would you reiterate for me B.C. and A.D.?
B.C. before Christ. A.D. is a Latin phrase. It means Anno Domini, which is translated in the year of the Lord. So the zero point is measured from the birth of Christ. Depending on who you consult, Christ was not born in the year zero, but maybe in about 3 to 5 B.C. Because of miscalculations in the Gregorian calendar, but that's what those terms mean.
Well, too, the modern day confusion, to be politically correct, is BCE.
Yeah, you may see BCE before the Common Era.
Yeah. For people that don't want to admit that Christ is.
Right. I have even seen in some academic works, I think it was years from the beginning or years after creation or something like that, which takes Christ out of the picture. Even when you say Common Era, it's still measured on the birth of Christ. But that takes that out.
That's more of a justification mode, isn't it?
Yeah. So, does that answer your question? Okay. The Bible is grouped into two major divisions. Of the 66 books that are in the Bible, 39 of them were written in the B.C. range, prior to the birth of Jesus, and those were called
the Old Testament.
The Old Testament. The remaining 27 books were written very soon after the death of Jesus. Those are called the New Testament. What is a testament? Declaration of facts. Anybody else?
Yeah, I think it goes a little deeper than that.
Yeah, a little bit deeper than that.
It's a declaration that what is written is to be true and certain and came from God.
Yeah, it goes even a little bit deeper than that.
It was performed. It was done.
It was true. It was done.
Correct.
It's a contract or a covenant. It's a promise that two parties enter into, where one party is agrees to perform one thing, and the other party to the agreement agrees to perform something else, and you form a covenant or a contract, and that's what it is. The Old Testament was God's agreement or God's promises to the nation of Israel. The New Testament is God's promises to Christians or to the people of all nations, whoever will come to Him under God's conditions. There were conditions to it. God made a set of promises, and He said, I will do this if you do this. He said that to Israel. He says that to us. God, in spite of Israel's disobedience and not holding up their end of the covenant, God eventually did put them away from part of it, but God still fulfilled what God had said that He was going to do through the nation in spite of their disobedience. But we're getting ahead of ourselves a little bit. We'll get into that later.
Well, the one thing that I heard years ago that helps you remember the 39 books of the Old Testament and there's 27 in the New. If you look at the word Old Testament, two words. Old has three letters. Testament has nine. Three and nine is 39.
Interesting. I've not
New
heard
Testament,
that before.
Three and nine. Three times nine is 27. So if you can remember that.
Well, now we will.
Yeah. We will now. I have never heard that before, but that's interesting. So 39 and 27.
If you take the children's class too, you'll know it because you have to sing it.
You have to sing that little song.
Yeah.
I'll spare you from that this morning, just only because we're running short of time. I won't sing the jingle.
Yeah.
The first five books of the Old Testament are called the Books of Law, or in Jewish language, the Torah or the Pentateuch. These, Genesis through Deuteronomy, these are five books that are written by Moses. They look back from the death of Moses, and they were written Moses probably wrote these close to his death. There's some disagreement about the time period over which Moses wrote these. But around 1400 B.C., looking back to the beginning, Moses wrote about the history of the creation of the world, the forming of the nation of Israel, the laws that God gave to Israel to govern the nation, and Israel's journey out of their formation as slaves in Egypt, the exodus from Egypt, and their journey through the wilderness to the land of promise that God promised to give them is where the book of Deuteronomy ends. And Deuteronomy restates much of the law. Genesis and Exodus, all of the book of Genesis and most of the book of Exodus is a historical account from creation up to Israel coming out of Egypt and camping at Mount Sinai and receiving the law at Mount Sinai. The book of Leviticus is the law. There's some law in Exodus, there's some law in Numbers, and also a historical account in Numbers of the journey through the wilderness from Sinai up to the Jordan River, where they entered the Promised Land. And then Deuteronomy is the second stating of the law, or Moses' instructions to Israel as he was about to die. Those are the first five books of the Bible, books of law. The next 12 books are books of history. These were written over a period of about 1,000 years, from 1400 B.C. Down to 400 B.C. These tell the history of the nation of Israel, starting in Joshua. The book following Deuteronomy is Joshua. Tells about Joshua leading the people into Canaan, into the land that God had promised them, and taking that over. And the rest of these books tell the history of the nation through the period of Judges, through the period of the kings, the division of the kingdom into two separate kingdoms, one of which was taken into Assyrian captivity, the northern kingdom of Israel taken into Assyrian captivity and went away forever. The southern kingdom of Judah was taken into captivity in Babylon, were released, some of them, to come back and re-inhabit the land, and the books of Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther cover that period post-exile, post-Babylonian exile, when they came back into the land and repopulated it there. I'll get to that in a minute. The middle five books here, books 18 to 22, are books of poetry and wisdom. Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. Probably written during the time, around the time of the United Kingdom, David and Solomon, except for possibly Job. Job may be, depending on who you consult, the oldest book in the Bible. Nonetheless, Job, the man, lived back here during the period of the patriarchs. That much is pretty certain. If the authorship and the writing of the book, the date of the actual writing of the book, may be a little bit less certain. But Job is about a man, a servant of God, and it contains questions about suffering. How do we handle suffering? The account of Job and all that happened to him. The Psalms, a collection of poems put to music, collection of short wise sayings and proverbs, primarily attributed to Solomon. Ecclesiastes, Solomon's struggle with the meaning of life in a world that is filled with vanity. Very, very edifying book to study. And then the Song of Solomon, poem about true romantic love. These are commonly called poetry and wisdom books, which are in the center of the Old Testament. Unbelievable. The final 17 books in the Old Testament, 23 through 39, are the books of prophecy. These were written by various men throughout the history of Israel that called the nation to repentance, spoke the words of God to them, called them back to the law and to obedience of God, and predicted the coming of the Messiah. These prophets were spread over a wide period of time. They prophesied to Israel, they prophesied to Judah, they prophesied to Judah pre-exile and post-exile, they prophesied to other nations, such as Nineveh, that God wanted to spoke to declare his word. So these prophets spoke. There were many more prophets in Israel than actually wrote, but these 17 were the writing prophets that wrote books of the Bible. Prophets spoke until about 400 years before the birth of Christ, and then there was silence for a period of 400 years. So someone quickly turned to 1 Samuel 2:35. And I think this verse summarizes the overall message of the Old Testament pretty well. Whoever gets there, go ahead and read it.
235. Then I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who shall do according to what is in my heart and in my mind. And I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before my anointed forever.
So the message of the Old Testament is about this priest, this Messiah, who's going to walk before God's anointed forever. The Messiah is coming. That is the theme that is gradually revealed from the beginning and revealed in more detail as we go throughout the history of Israel and the words of the prophets. You see, God is working his plan to bring the Messiah into the world through Israel. Central theme of the Old Testament. Any questions about that so far? Go ahead.
It's not about the lesson really, but isn't that verse about Samuel? Isn't that what's his face talking about Samuel? Because the sons are sinning.
He's talking to Eli. Samuel talking to Eli,
okay,
and saying, your sons are not the priests that God wants because they're sinning, but I'm going to raise up another priest at some point in the future who is going to do my will. Maybe a reference to David, perhaps. I think it's a reference to Christ. But it is Samuel talking to Eli. New Testament, really quickly, we'll run through this. The first four books of the New Testament are called the Gospels. They're named after the authors, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Contain a record of the events of the life of Christ, his birth, his ministry, and his crucifixion. Matthew, Mark, and John were eyewitnesses to Jesus' life. They were with him. They saw the things that he taught. They heard his teachings. They saw the things that were done to him. Luke was a contemporary, and he knew many of the eyewitnesses. Luke was a physician, but he knew many of the eyewitnesses that lived with Jesus. These are the historical accounts of the life and ministry of Jesus. The fifth book of the New Testament, the book of Acts, was also written by Luke. It tells the story of the first 30 years of the church as the gospel was preached throughout the world. So after Christ was raised and ascended back into heaven on the first Pentecost, after that, the Holy Spirit descended on the apostles, inspired them to preach to every man who was gathered there in Jerusalem in their own languages. And from there, they spread throughout the known world, began to preach the gospel. So it tells about conversions of the Jews, tells about the gospel being presented to the Gentile nations, and accounts of many conversions there. Paul's journeys, the conversion of Paul, Saul of Tarsus, to be the apostle to the Gentiles, and his journeys throughout the world in establishing of churches. So a historical account there. And 6 through 26 are epistles. These are letters that were written by apostles and prophets in the church to various churches and various individuals to give them instructions. Instructions for how to live a Christian life, what it means to be a follower and a disciple of Jesus Christ, how to conduct yourselves in the church, in the collective group and local churches, church practice and Christian living, instructions in all of these letters from apostles and prophets. And finally, the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, written by the Apostle John to Christians, seven churches who are Christians who are suffering, who are living in Asia Minor in the first century, assuring them that Christ, even though they're being persecuted, even though they're suffering, Christ has conquered death. He's victorious over all. So that is a 50,000-foot flyover of the New Testament. The message of the New Testament, Acts 2:36. Peter says, God has made this Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, who was predicted in the Old Testament. He is also Lord and King over the world. God has put all things in subjection under him. He has all authority. He is our King. He is who we should submit to and obey. That is the message of the New Testament. Does anybody need to go, or do you have a couple more minutes? Okay. 2 Corinthians 5, so the overall story of the Bible, Tim, can you turn to 2 Corinthians 5, read 17 through 21. What is this overall message, the story of the Bible that we're trying to explore?
Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
God's plan of reconciliation and salvation in Christ. That is what the Bible is about. God created a perfect world. He created man in his image. Man sinned and rebelled, yielded to temptation of Satan, destroyed that. The Bible is about God's plan to reconcile and save man and bring us back into the relationship with him that we were created to have. As we go through the quarter, and we'll get into this in a little more detail on Wednesday night, I want to lay all these events and all this timeline kind of in this narrative. And this is the narrative that we use to teach the children's classes. But I think it's very appropriate for us to use as well, because it does a very good job telling the story of the Bible. So we'll see that the story of the Bible doesn't begin at the beginning. It begins before the beginning. This plan, God's plan of reconciliation and salvation in Christ, we will see, it covers the whole Scripture, but it begins even before that. This was not an afterthought. This was not a reaction to man's disobedience. This was a plan in the mind and the heart of God before he created the world. He knew what he was going to do to bring man back to himself. We'll talk about that some more next week, next Sunday, in a little bit more detail. Before the world began. But God's plan begins with the first fathers, starting with Adam, down through Abraham. Abraham is a key character in this, and God comes to Abraham very early and makes him three promises. He promises him he's going to have a big family from his descendants. His descendants are going to be a great nation, and they're going to have a special land. God gives them those three promises. The rest of the Old Testament talks about the fulfilling of those promises. Finally, he says that from this nation is going to come a great blessing. You're going to bless the whole world. Through Moses, who led the people out of slavery in Egypt, and the formation of the nation up to the land. Joshua, who leads them into the land and possesses the land. Once they are there, there is a period of kings. They don't want to follow God. They want to follow a king. They want to have a king like the nations that are around them. We'll talk about that. So there was a period of a united kingdom, and then the kingdom divides into two, Israel and Judah. Israel and Judah are both taken into captivity. Then we have homesick heroes, prophets who speak to them while they are out of their land, taken away from their land, calling them to repentance, calling them to come back to God, telling them what God is going to do, reminding them of God's plan to bring about this great blessing through this nation. The kingdom of Judah eventually returns to their land. Then there are prophets after they return that tell them about this blessing that's going to come. We call them in this narrative home again heroes, the ones that speak God's word to the people after they have come back into the land. Then, as we enter the New Testament, we see the fulfillment of God's plan, God's great blessing for all nations in Christ. And then, it doesn't end there, because it continues with us. We have work to do to build on that plan, to see that God's plan is carried out in the world today. This is, if you pick up a class schedule, this is the outline of our lessons. We're going to spend a couple here, a couple here, and then we're going to go through the rest of that really quickly. We'll get into this in more detail on Wednesday night.